see the land to which our ancestors migrated, we need to travel to the port of Dar es Salaam, the capital of Tanzania, to follow the path through which the first group of Shirazis passed.
There was about 14 people who arrived first, and they built the houses, about 100 of them.
The people who came, they were Iranians. That is very clear, because it says that they are from Shiraz, led by Ali bin Hassan.
The Iranians have left numerous traces in Zanzibar, and Shirazi's traces can be found all over Zanzibar.
در واقع شیرازی‌ها وقتی که در سواحل و جزایر شرق آفریقا شامل کنیا، تانزانیا و مجموعه جزایر کومور مستقر شدن، یادگارهای خودشون بر جا گذاشتن که یکی از مهمترین اونها جشن نوروز.
People from different areas of Persian Gulf came here.
Centuries ago, Iranians traveled from the Persian Gulf to the east of Africa. To follow the path of the first group of migrants from Shiraz, we need to travel to Dar es Salaam, the largest city in Tanzania. Early in the morning, the fishermen get ready for fishing. Fishing boats are lined up to be sent to the sea. Along the massive ships on the vast ocean, we can see some small sailboats that rake up the memories of past seafaring. The image of a sailboat floating in the ocean is more like an artwork than reality. The beauty of the rather short path from Dar es Salaam to Zanzibar astonishes every passenger, especially newcomers like us. We will travel from Dar es Salaam, the capital city of Tanzania, to Zanzibar Archipelago, a 50-kilometer-long route which takes 1.5 hours by a ferry ship. Zanzibar is a collection of small islands, among which Unguja and Pemba are the most important. The capital of Zanzibar is Unguja, which is also referred to as Zanzibar City.
The main substantial explanation comes from the Kilwa Chronicle, back in about 1552. One important information that comes from this Portuguese chronicle is that the people who came, They were Iranians. That is very clear because it says that they are from Shiraz, led by Ali bin Hassan.
اینها در چه زمانی
They migrated in the 10th century AD. میلادی
مهاجرت کردند. It is likely that it was during the Buyid period that he came. The fact that they were Shia also probably connects with the Buyids because the Buyids were also Shia. It may be that when the Buyid dynasty was collapsing, that's when they came.
چرا اینها مهاجرت کردند؟
Why did they immigrate? There are some opinions in this regard. Some believe that the ruler of Shiraz was under religious political pressure. His name was Ali Shirazi. He decided to immigrate along with his family from the region, whether to show his protest or get rid of the situation or whatever. They left the region anyway.
چیز بکنه به مهاجرت بکنه از این منطقه حالا یا به صورت اعتراض یا به صورت رهایی بخش یا هر چیز دیگری که اسمش بذاریم اینها از اونجا میرن
In one story is that he dreamt that the town was being attacked in the form of mice eating the walls and therefore he thought that his kingdom was going to collapse and that's why he left Another story was that that he was black because his mother was Ethiopian and he was discriminated against and that's why he left. But sometimes these are stories that are written later on to explain things that have happened in the past. We don't have any other evidence in Iran to connect Ali bin Hassan with any of the rulers there in Iran. Most likely he came from the coast. That is obvious, that he came from the coast But it is possible that originally his family may have come from Shiraz. So he identified himself as a Shirazi, but probably coming from Siraf, which was the main port.
Siraf به خاطر عمق خوب آب، نزدیکی به مرکز حکومتی اون زمان.
Proper water depth, proximity to the ruling center, tribal conflicts along the Silk Road. Famous seafarers and shipbuilding made Siraf a well-known area which became the starting point of maritime Silk Road and the trade center of Chinese goods for they were offloaded in Siraf and then distributed to other parts of Iran and to the countries bordering the Persian Gulf.
وارد سیراف شده و از سیراف به مناطق دیگر ایران و یا سایر کشورهای حاشیه خلیج فارس صادر می‌شد.
مسیری که ایرانی‌ها برای رسیدن به شرق آفریقا طی می‌کردند.
They traveled along the coastline to get to East Africa. They started from Persian Gulf, headed to the Arabian Sea, and then moved along Oman coastline to Yemen. Then passing the Gulf of Aden, they reached Somalia, where East African coast was to their right. They carried on southwards and crossed the equator, which was the most difficult part of the journey, because down the equator, the climate was different.
این قسمت مشکل ترین کار بود به دلیل تغییر شرایط فصل زیرا همواره شمال و جنوب خط استوا شرایط فصلی متفاوتی رو داره
All along the East African coast you can find descendants of the Shirazi family and coincidentally one of them was on our ship to Zanzibar we chatted with him about his ancestors
Mimi Saleh bin Ameri bin Juma asili Shirazi kutoka Pemba nikaza Zanzibar na baadaye nisafiri hadi Dar es Salaam na familia na mke na watoto shughuli zangu najishughulisha na kuuza biashara za duka duka la rejareja lakini kwa sasa hivi ndio niko Dar es Salaam eneo la Mbagala lakini katika asili hiyo Shirazi imeleta maendeleo mbalimbali kwa Zanzibar na Pemba na sehemu mbalimbali ambayo ndio asili waliokuja tokia miaka 1500 iliyopita walishafikia hapa wako asili kwa kipindi kirefu lakini na waliyofanya yalikuwa ni ya msara sana kimaendeleo.
And here we are. In front of our curious eyes lies the spectacular scene of the coast of Zanzibar with its live, eye-catching nature. And through it, we are going to unearth the old memories of the Shirazi immigrants. Coast, and Zang means black. Long ago, these regions were known as Coast of Blacks, where 2,000 years ago a group of black fishermen set foot in, inhabited, and started farming. So don't get surprised if you hear names like Shushteri and Shirazi in Zanzibar, or came across Persian words like Mahfele Shah Khurasan on a mosque. Zanzibar, or traditionally Zangi Coast, is a beautiful archipelago which includes Unguja, Pemba, and several other islets. Since long ago, Zanzibar has been a resort for different ethnic groups, most of whom were traders who settled there. Artistic and architectural works in different parts of this region reflect the historical influences of different people who lived here. Stone Town is the oldest image of those people whose strong houses, with their ostentatiously carved doors, have turned it into a World Heritage Site recorded in the UN. And today, Zanzibar is home to 1,070,000 people who are the descendants of two major groups, the natives and the immigrants. The people of Zanzibar make their living from tourism, exporting clove, fishing, and building boats called canoe. Since 1964, when Zanzibar declared its union with Tanzania, it's become the semi-autonomous part of the United Republic of Tanzania. People in Zanzibar speak Swahili, and more than 90% of the population is Muslim. Sheikh Zaidi is the Shia party leader in Zanzibar. He's been living here since 12 years ago, when he and his wife, together with their five children, left India to Zanzibar. Zanzibar Islands host not only Jews, Assyrians, Zoroastrians, and Sunnis, but also a substantial Shia minority. Sheikh Zaidi will tell us the story of the arrival of the Shias in these islands, for he's been their imam for years.
A lot of activities, the time of the Holy Prophet, it was from Hejaz to Zanzibar and the East Africa. The people used to come and go from East Africa to Hejaz. So it was the beginning of Islam in the Zanzibar island.
One important information that comes from this Portuguese chronicle is that the people who came, they were Iranians. That is very clear because it says that they are from Shiraz, led by Ali bin Hassan or Hassan bin Ali. It's not always very clear. With his sons.
He comes to Zanzibar because he heard a lot about the significance of this island. And he did know better that the Zanzibar is the best place for business. And we can get good business to the neighboring countries and the neighboring islands and the cities. From Zanzibar, they can reach to Mombasa, they can reach to Kenya, they can reach to Mozambique, they can go to mainland of Tanzania or Tanganyika, and so many other places they can do a very good business.
It doesn't say which sect, but it was a different sect. And he said that since these were Iranians, they did not stop there. They came further south to Kilwa and Mafia and other places. Now, in another place, they even mentioned specifically that that they belonged to the sect who follow the fourth Khalifa or the first Imam of the Shia. So it, to my mind, this is a very clear evidence that whoever came, they were Shia in particular.
One of the Shia's biggest religious events is the commemoration of Imam Hussein on the 40th day of his martyrdom anniversary. The ceremonies are so significantly held that people from different cities come to Zanzibar's Shia Mosque to participate. Iranian seafarers voyaging to Africa has caused part of the culture of this region to transfer to the southern parts of Iran. An example of this is their special way of Ashura mourning, which is evident in Bushehr until today. Mr. Kennan is a researcher on Bushehr whose ancestors were seafarers. He's going to tell us about this cultural transfer.
ما اینجا در موقع عزاداریمون یکی از شاخص‌ترین وسیله‌هایی که بوشهر را می‌شناسند
The typical feature in Bushehri style of Ashura mourning is their drum beating using particular drums. This custom is undeniably adopted from African Shias, something like what is used by Africans who live in jungles, more developed case of which exists in the cities. This tradition has not been directly transferred, but it has suffered changes on its way through Oman and Bahrain before reaching Bushehr.
The island of Zanzibar, situated on the coasts of East Africa, is one of the most important gates for the travelers from the Indian Ocean to Africa. In its long life, Zanzibar has been resided by different people with different traditions and cultures, each of whom have left a memorial as a tribute to the island. Here's the historical stone town where most of the governmental centers of Zanzibar are located. For its old age and special houses, Stone Town has been recorded as a World Heritage in UNESCO. Interesting to note that one of the oldest memorials in Zanzibar is an amazing building possessed by an Iranian prince. March is the month of heavy rain in Zanzibar. Sometimes the average precipitation in this month reaches 200 millimeters. The residents of the tropical areas are accustomed to such sudden heavy rains.
Travel to Keshm Island, and interesting enough, we visited a small village called Lofti. In that village, I was astonished. Two old people who were in their 60s, who were age of 60 to 65 years, came to me and said, we can speak Swahili. And they started speaking to me in Swahili. So it was very interesting for me to hear people that far speaking Swahili to me. So I became curious and I started inquiring, how come you are now speaking Swahili at this age? How did you know this Swahili language? So they told me that they were the captains of the dhows, the big boats, which sailed to East Africa, bringing goods from Iran, mainly also bringing people from Shiraz to go and do trading as traders along the east coast of Africa.
Because the Iranians did not just come at one time and stop. Even after the Shirazi dynasty was overthrown, the Iranian sailors and captains continued to come because they come from the same Persian Gulf and they continue to trade. I remember when I was young in the 1950s, at that time, Dows were coming from Bushehr. And they came at that time and had an influence even at that time on the language, on particularly of the Snashari community, the Shia community.
And they said because the journey was very long, most of them could settle along these coastal towns for 6 months. In the process, they had to learn Swahili language to enable them to trade and communicate with the local inhabitants along these coastal cities.
Through the green forests, we're making our way to the southwest Unguja, to an area bordering the Indian Ocean in the Dimbani village, which lies 60 kilometers from the city center. There is a mosque in this area called Kizimkazi. It is one of the historical constructions built by the Shirazi's immigrants. Masjid al-Zahra is one of the traces of Iranians' presence in this area, which was built by Shirazi architects in Kazimkazi following the order of Ali ibn Hassan.
The place we're in is Kizimkazi Mosque, which is deemed to be the oldest mosque in Zanzibar. It's also one of the oldest mosques in East Africa.
When we come to the 12th century, early 12th century, we have the mosque in Zanzibar, a very famous mosque, which is still being used. And it is the oldest mosque which is still being used at Kizimkazi. And what is interesting particularly about this, apart from the fact that it is still being used, is that it has a very beautiful Kufic inscription around the mihrab, from the mihrab and on both sides of the front wall.
To travel to Dar es Salaam, the largest city in Tanzania, to Zanzibar Archipelago, a 50-kilometer long route which takes 1.5 hours by a ferry ship. Zanzibar is a collection of small islands, among which Unguja and Pemba are the most important. The capital of Zanzibar is Unguja, which is also referred to as Zanzibar City.
The main substantial explanation comes from the Kilwa Chronicle. Back in about 1552, one important information that comes from this Portuguese chronicle is that the people who came, they were Iranians. That is very clear because it says that they are from Shiraz, led by Ali bin Hassan.
Inha dar che zamani
they migrated in the 10th century AD.
I traveled to Kashmir Island. Two old people who were in their 60s, who were age of 60 to 65 years, came to me and said, we can speak Swahili. And they started speaking to me in Swahili. So it was very interesting for me to hear people that far speaking Swahili to me. So I became curious and I started inquiring, how come you are now speaking Swahili at this age? How did you know this Swahili language? So they told me that they were the captains of the dhows, the big boats which sailed to East Africa, bringing goods from Iran, mainly also bringing people from Shiraz to go and do trading as traders along the east coast of Africa.
The evidence that it was specifically Shirazi, that it was Islamic, it is very clear because it's a mosque. Something that seems to connect with Shiraz or with Siraf in particular is the Kufic inscription, because the Kufic inscription in terms of art history can be compared with the Kufic inscriptions that were being written at the time, at the same time in Siraf. So that is what sort of connects. But the excavation that had been carried out in Siraf indicates that there also there was a school of calligraphy using Kufic inscription. And so the Kufic inscription that had been found in Siraf, they appear to be very similar to the ones in Kizimkazi. So it connects Now you have to go to the next stage of looking at other aspects of the architecture. The kind of arch, for example, the kind of mihrab, and so on.
Mihrab masjid ke mushahede mifahmin kamelan.
The mihrab of the Kizimkazi Mosque is quite similar to that of Iranian mosques in the early centuries, A.H. Some of the archaeologists have said that this style of mihrab is an exact copy of the ones made during the Saljuqi period.
Kizimkazi is decorated with stucco, works of a Saljuqi style. Its mihrab is adorned with Kufic inscriptions. Kizimkazi, or Masjid al-Zahra, has endured many periods and received different people and still hosts prayers with different ethnic and religious backgrounds. This child is one of the thousands of prayers who will keep the memory of his prayer in this historical stone mosque. When the first Shirazi immigrants set foot on the East African coasts, they brought along not only beautiful buildings and colorful clothes, but also their cultural and traditional practices. Nowruz is one of the most enduring traditions brought along by Iranians, which is still extant in East Africa and particularly in Zanzibar. Makunduchi village is one of the main centers for holding Nowruz ceremonies. We will head to the southeast Zanzibar to visit the village and ask its people about Mwaka Kogwa festival. When we arrived in the village, the people were prepared for the birthday anniversary of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and women and girls were in flamboyant clothes.
When the Shirazi settled in East Africa, including Kenya, Tanzania, and Comoros, they brought some of their traditions, most notably Nowruz.
One important institution that has survived has been the Nowruz, or Nairuzi in Kiswahili, or the way it is spelled, pronounced. But also their common name is Mwaka Kogwa.
The area surrounding the main square of the village is normally tranquil, but on the day of Mwaka Kogwa, it will turn into a place for carnival. Makunduchi residents are engaged in farming and fishing. And of course, as in other parts of Zanzibar, color in Makunduchi plays a major role in people's life. One of the villagers who has participated in these ceremonies for years is going to tell us about the day when Mwaka Kogwa sparks happiness and joy in the village.
But we copied from Persia, because the Persian ran from their country for the fighting. They escaped their country to find some place for their life, because there was a war there. So some of the people came in this area, and after days, after living for some years, they started this culture, and they were doing it while they were at home. So we call Mwaka Kogwa. They call there Nowruz.
This is only the beginning of Mwaka Kogwa ceremony. On the day of the ceremony, thousands of Zanzibari people, together with tourists and reporters from around the world, would flock to the main square of Makunduchi to watch the Mwaka Kogwa, an event which is more of a fight.
دو تا جوان از منطقه شمال ماکوندوچی دو تا جوان هم از منطقه
Two young men from northern part of Mangunduchi and two other from southern part fight using banana stems as fighting weapons. Young people from both parts of the village, along with the women, make a circle around the fighters and start singing different local songs about love and the like. Either side of the combat who feels the defeat would surrender, otherwise it would continue until one side surrenders.
احساس بکنه مثلا شکست خورده تسلیم میشه و الا همینجوری ادامه بده تا تمام بشه.
About three generations ago, stones and cudgels were used as fighting weapons on the Mwaka Kokwade. But Karume, the first president of Zanzibar after the revolution, banned the use of stones and cudgels. And banana stems replaced the cudgels to avoid the damage.
The underlying premise in this ritual is that if you vent any hard feelings during the fight, there will be no hard feelings or problems in the coming year.
During the ceremony, an individual gets into a big pile of coconuts, leaves and stems collected by people, and the pile is burnt. Right after that, the person inside gets out and runs. The women then circle around the fire, singing ritual songs.
وارد کردن یک فرد در کلبد حالا از برگ‌های درخت نارنج
The process of entering a person in the pile of coconut leaves and burning them is related to the story of the prophet Ibrahim when Nimrod put Ibrahim in a pile of woods trying to burn him and God saved him. I have heard such beliefs.
حالا هیزم و آتش روشن کردن و می‌خواستن ایشون رو بسوزونن که و خدا نجاتش دادن میگن که اصلا این مسئله به اون مرتبط میشه همچنین چیز هم یا همچنین صحبت های هم من به گوش هم رسیده
بومیان از این علم و دانش که
Unlike the Iranians, whose great scientists and astronomers corrected the Persian calendar, the Zanzibaris lacked the necessary knowledge to do that. For this reason, there occurred a gap between the Persian calendar in Iran and its East African version.
Because their calendar was defective, because their calendar was 365 days, it did not take into consideration the leap year, the quarter day every year. So it meant that every 4 years it would lose one day in the calendar. Every 100 years they would lose 33 days. And that meant that from the original calendar it kept on shifting throughout the year. So now, for example, in Zanzibar, Mwaka Kogwa or Nairuzi is celebrated in August.
The Iranians have left numerous traces in Zanzibar, and Shirazi's traces can be found all over Zanzibar. Tumbatu is an island in northern Zanzibar. One of the traces of the Iranians' presence in East Africa lies in this island, and we're going to find it. To get to Tumbatu, we need to go to Mkotoni, and then, using a boat, we will make our way to the island. Mkotoni is a small port, most of whose residents are engaged in fishing.
The small sailboats or motorboats are used to move passengers or food from the neighboring islets to Unguja or Zanzibar. We rented one of these boats to travel the 2-kilometer-long route to Tumbatu. Fuel for the motorboats is high for the people of this area, so they prefer to use sailboats or rowboats. Mr. Alavi is one of the residents of Zanzibar, will guide us to the remains of Iranian constructions left in Tumbatu.
Okay, there was about 14 people who arrived first, and they built the houses, about 100 of them. This is the building. We are now entering the building of the mosque where these people from Iran came here and they make their residence in Zanzibar. This is the place.
At a high point in Tumbatu Island stands a mosque, which is the most important building left by Shirazis in this island.
جزیره تومباتو یکی از مراکز اولیه سکونت شیرازی ها بوده.
Tumbatu Island was one of the first areas settled by the Shirazi immigrants. It remains unknown whether or not this island was inhabited before their arrival. Archaeological studies indicate that they migrated to this place about 3 centuries after the first group of Shirazi, and they were the kinsmen of those who lived in East Africa who encouraged them to leave Bushehr and move to Tumbatu Island.
And you see their covers, the covers of the mosque. And this is the well, maybe, which was used for taking water.
This mosque, which was not very large, was different from other historical buildings of Shirazis in that it had 2 mihrabs, one for men and one for women.
This is the direction. Oh, this one, eh? Why is here? Kibla kiko api apa, huko? Kina kimeleke api kibla? Ah, this is the kibla. This one. Yeah, this is mihrab. The place of mihrab. And that one, maybe this one was for men and this one for women, because there are 2 mihrab. Nafikiri hii ilikuwa ya wanawake kwa sababu ndogo. This is the smaller one, this is for women, and this one for men, and this is the door, or maybe it was the window. These are the old origin stones which were built this mosque. Yeah. This is a place of ablution, and that one for ablution, and this is the well. Yeah. They take the water from there to here and to there.
The
These stones are the remains of the works of Iranian architects who built a magnificent mosque in this island hundreds of years ago.
Francis Pierce, British ruler of Zanzibar during 1912 to 1922, considered this mosque as the most important historical buildings of the Shirazis throughout East Africa, and believed that its style looked similar to that of Masjid al-Zainab in Syria and Masjid al-Aqsa, and that they modeled those two mosques in building this one. Pemba Chronicle has also mentioned the Shirazis who inhabited Tumbatu and their ruler Darhash, Ibn Shah. It was implied by Pemba Chronicle that their admittance to the island was in the 10th century AD. It follows that these people were the second group of Shirazis who set foot on East Africa. About 1,000 years ago, Iranians migrated to East Africa through the Indian Ocean, and some of them settled in these lands. Iranians' presence had a significant influence on people's life in East Africa, which continues to exist until today. Among the most evident ones are the spread of Islam and Shiism, Iranian art and culture, and the generalization of ancient Iranian traditions, and of course the Persian language, which deeply permeated the culture and the language of this region, so much so that we can easily see Persian words everywhere in East Africa, like Zanzibar.
So if you look at the language itself, now people have identified the words in Kiswahili. A couple of them now have made a very exhaustive study, and they said there are about 300 words of Iranian origin, of Farsi, in Kiswahili.
Most of kinship words in Swahili language are adopted from Persian language. For example, kaka, which means elder brother, has a deep root in the Shirazi dialect of Farsi, or words like dada or bibi, which means the elder sister or grandmother in Swahili language. Now, for example, some words like computer or machine, which are borrowed from English, are obviously contemporary and new because they refer to some newly invented things. But the kinship words begin to exist along with the formation of a society. It follows that the Shirazi had been there since a long time ago, because it takes a long time to borrow and use a term from a language.
And when you look at these words, many of them relate to trade, specifically to textiles. For example, there is a cloth called bafta. And to me, it seems to be very clear that that word comes from baftan, which means to weave. Then there is a color, sort of brownish, like the earth. And it is called huzurungi. And nobody knows. Most of the people, when I tell them, they say, oh, no, huzurungi means brown. And I say, but it comes from hazar rang, I mean, when you have multiple color. So there are a lot of influences like this in terms of the textiles, in terms of trade, but also in terms of administration, because they began to establish administration. So you have the chiefs of many of the villages probably had borrowed or had adopted, rather strange for a chief, a local chief, but maybe at one time he was a king. So he called himself a shah. And from a shah, it became a sheha. And until today in Zanzibar, you have the local top government official in the villages. He's called sheha, until today.
من بیشتر دیدم که در همون فعالیت‌های
I've noticed that lots of key words in the area of seafaring in Swahili language are borrowed from Persian. For example, the word port, which is the core element in seafaring activities in Swahili language, is called bandar, which is adopted from Persian. Or terms used to refer to people engaged in seafaring, like shipmaster, which we say nahoda, and Persians say nahoda, or words like anchor, which we say nangar, and is taken from the Persian word langar.
Langar, ke dar savoli ham migim nanga.
The streets and lanes of the Stone Town are like museums that exhibit the history and the culture of a town, adorned with colors and wooden doors, which are redolent of the historical art of Zanzibar. Unlike the chaotic world of the big cities, this town is tranquil and the people live traditionally. After a busy day in the Indian Ocean, the fishing boats sail back, and the ships disembark new passengers on the Zanzibar beach. By the time the sunlight fades in the calm waters of the ocean, the Zanzibari children jump into the waters enthusiastically, happy of the bliss of such a live, beautiful nature.